You can be seated. Come and behold him. The one and the only. That's why we're here. To worship him. And I have to bring you some news that I don't want to particularly. But Friday night, our dear brother, Sam Narrow, went home to be with the Lord. And I know for some of you, you know that, and some of you, you're just trying to absorb that right now. You know, the scripture is our anchor, because the scripture is the word of God. And God said to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. And for about 36 hours now, Sam has been at home. I love that phrase because, you know, if I were to say absent, then I'd say present, and that's blessedly true. He's in the presence of the Lord. But I love that he said at home, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place is my Father's house, Jesus said. Sam's at home more than he's ever been before. And, you know, Paul said, I was quoting 2 Corinthians 5, Philippians 1, Paul said, to depart and be with Christ is much better. He didn't just say much better. He said very much better. It's one of the strongest phrases in the New Testament. He piles it on. It's not just better. People say glibly often who don't know the Lord and have no idea what the future holds, they'll say, well, he's in a better place, you know. That's true for a child of God. A much better place. Very much better place. Both Peter and Paul, when they proclaimed the resurrection that we just sang about, you know, should I ever need reminding? I do, don't you? That song said, should I ever need reminding? I'm not going to sing it, but I want to, and I was glad we did. Should I ever need reminding? There's another in the fire, standing next to me. There's another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There's a grave that holds no body, and now that power lives in me. What a great song, what a great truth. And both Peter and Paul just proclaimed that when they were proclaiming the victory of Jesus Christ's resurrection, the gospel, the good news that we celebrate. And they both went back to Psalm 16. You won't allow your Holy One to undergo decay, Peter said, and there's an empty grave. He almost quoted the song quoting him. We can point at David's grave. We can point at people's graves. And he was right there in Jerusalem, but he said there's no body in that grave. He rose. And when Paul, the first recorded sermon we have of Paul in Acts 13, that's what he did. He went to Psalm 16, and Thursday night, you know, Chris and I were, we're with Lydia and John, one of Sam's two sons, John and Ben. Ben is flying in this morning. He's been unable to get here, but he's looking forward to being here today. But Lydia got up, walked out of the room with purpose, and brought her Bible back. And it was well-thumbed Bible. And she said, "I just can't get over this." And she, you know how you do sometimes when you're kind of looking for something. And she found Psalm 16. And then she read a portion of Psalm 16 that I probably wouldn't. And she taught me. She spoke the Word of God to me and Chris and John. And, you know, it is the psalm that says, "I'm not going to allow my Holy One to undergo decay." And Jesus Christ was his Holy One, and he rose from the dead and said, "Because I live, you shall live also." He's never going to die again. And the psalm ends, "In thy presence there are pleasures forever." And actually, listen to the 17th psalm right beside it, and ends the same way. "The men of this world, the women of this world," people who just live as if this is all there is, they get their belly full of this and that, the psalm says. "But as for me," the psalmist said, David said, "as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake." Our brother has been with the Lord, as I said, for 36, 37 hours, enjoying that. You know, Sam came to Christ in 1973 or 4, I'm not sure. I remember when that occurred, and I remember by Christmas of 74, he came to Christ. And he was about 35 years old at the time. And but he and Lydia came first and then Sam. And then they were all in. And at at Christmas, I was going to tell you that story. They had us over at Christmas into their home, and they were already doing that, hospitable and just serving. And but I think back now, every day of my ministry, he has been standing beside me. And I don't know what day it was. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I asked you to pray last Sunday, and there's been an emotional 4 or 5 days. But Chris and I were sitting in the living room just talking about things, and I said, we've been lavished upon. And we just kind of counted so many blessings, not the least of which is being amongst the brethren, being here, standing with you, and serving with you. But I had those kinds of things on my mind and many other. I mean, God is lavished on me. What can I say? But I had Sam on my mind. And Friday morning, when it seemed close, and I came over here early for the elders' prayer time, and I had that word lavished on my mind, and we read Ephesians 1 as fellow elders. Sam was an elder here for many, many. He was an elder when I showed up, when I came back from, we'd gone away on mission for 4 years, and we were called back to pastor in 79, but you know, we've been lavished on to have Sam and Lydia in our midst, and I just we just kind of reminisced as elders Friday morning, and we had a rich time, and we prayed and talked and remembered, Sam. And, you know, Sam hadn't gone home yet, and we kind of kidded about it. He'll really give us the razz if he pulls out of this. And we were already kind of remembering, because you know Sam's humor. But, you know, Jesus said, in a graveyard, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. And if you hear nothing else this morning, let me say that again. By the way, in that same chapter, Jesus wept. So I just want to... But Jesus said, before he wept, his good friend, his brother, his good friend Lazarus had died, and people were weeping. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. It's a great statement of the good news. And if you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear that. But then he proceeded toward the grave, and he was going to raise Lazarus. In just a little while, he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. But he took the time to weep. He wept with those who weep, and he told us to. And this has been a really an emotional week, I have to say, because... yesterday, we had the joy of Carl and Rose's son marrying Grant and Karina's daughter. And Grant is sitting right here by Chris, walked in, and you're a brute for punishment. He's got a plane to catch, but he said, I'm not going to miss this service. And Grant ministered here many years as our youth pastor and has pastored down in Texas for 20-some years now with fruitful. He's a Bible teacher. He's a preacher. He's a great guy. But his daughter married Carl and Rose's son, you know, and what a joyous time. And yet there was tears mingled with joy. You know, sorrow and joy mingled together. And that's just the way it is. God is building his church, and he takes us home when our days are completed and Sam's days were numbered before the foundation of the world. You know, the scripture says, he had my days counted and numbered. And it doesn't have to do with Herod, whether Herod decides to lop John's head off, some crazy government thing or something. No, none of that. Ultimately, God's in charge. Nobody can touch us till the Lord is ready to take us home. So I want you to remember that. And I want to pause and pray, and I want to pray for Lydia and Ben and John, and then we'll get into God's word. But let's bow. Oh, Lord, how thankful I am that we can come right into your presence and say, Abba, Father, Dad. What intimacy. Because we've been born again into your family. And I rejoice that about a half century ago, you brought the gospel to Lydia. And soon after, you opened Sam's eyes to this gospel, this good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. Today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And now I thank you that you brought the good news to them and you opened their eyes and their hearts to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pause and say thank you. And then I thank you for the way they just turned to you and immediately began serving in this congregation and have faithfully borne fruit into their old age, they're full of sap, like it says in the psalm. And we just thank you for Sam and Lydia. And oh, we pray your blessing on Lydia right now. I thank you that she's clinging to you and to your word. And we've got your word on it. We thought about it last week. Every word of yours is tested, and you are a shield to those who take refuge in you, to those who take refuge in your word. And so I praise you that we can ask you, the God of all comfort, to give comfort to our sister and to remind her that you've always had a very special place in your heart for widows. And I thank you for John. As I was thinking of the family room the other night, and I thank you that he's clinging to you and to your word. And I pray your comfort for John and his whole family. And Ben, oh Lord, I thank you for these ones who were brought to you by their dad and mom and have followed you and walked with you and are finding you to be their anchor right now. And we pray that we would be able to minister to the narrow family. I think of Bob and Carolyn, and I thank you just the same thing, Lord, that they're looking to you. And there's real loss, there's real grief, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. And one day soon, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And we've got your word on that. And thus we'll always be with you. And there's great comfort in those words. So we thank you and praise you for Sam's life. And I pray even now that as we turn to your word, you would speak to our hearts. We come and ask you to open up your word and open up our hearts right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn back to the book of Hebrews. We left off, we've been going through Hebrews, and I stopped at verse 6 of chapter 13. So we'll pick it up at verse 7. And we stopped there in mid-December, which is kind of a practice of ours. We took a look at the one who prepared the way for the Lord, John the Baptist. And then we, of course, celebrated and rejoiced in the birth of Jesus. And we, I'd never miss a first Sunday of the year, I don't think, to take the opportunity to just stir us to read God's Word, get in God's Word in 2022. So that's where we've been. But if you're new with us, we just go through a book of the Bible, and so we'll pick it up right where we left off today. And you know, I can't get over that song we just sang, Come and Behold Him, the one and the only. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. And really, that's why we gather. That's why we're here. Come and behold Jesus Christ, the one and only. Lord, open our eyes to Jesus right now. In your word we pray. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. And considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. Don't be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. I just want to look pretty much at verse 7. Remember. Let me just stop there. Remember. That's a common exhortation of the Scripture. And it's so central to spiritual health. Remember the word that I spoke to you, Jesus Christ said. A slave isn't greater than his master. I'm quoting out of John 15. Remember the word that I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said that on the eve of his death. He said, remember the word that I spoke to you. Actually, turn there. John 16, 15 and 16. 13, 14, 15, and 16, rich, rich vein of Scripture because Jesus is opening up his heart to his men as he's on his way. He said, your hearts are troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another one, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And so that's the context. And I was quoting verse 20. Of 15, remember the word that I spoke to you. But then come down to verse chapter 16 with me. Remember, this is all in the same evening. This is just Jesus sharing his heart. These things I've spoken. He said, remember the things I've spoken. And then he said, these things I've spoken to you that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he's offering service to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. Generally, Jesus said, remember the word I spoke to you. Specifically, he said in times of real crisis, when the storm clouds are gathering, there's coming a day when they'll think they're doing God's work by killing you. We live in that day, and we can see it becoming more and more real. Verse 4, but these things I've spoken to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember. Remember that I told you of them. And these things I didn't say to you at the beginning because I was with you, but I'm leaving. And we live in that era when Jesus is in heaven, we're waiting his return. And he said, remember what I told you. Remember what I told you. So in times of crisis, in times like these, a believing brother said, I just don't watch the news hardly any anymore. And I understand that. The days we live in, remember, Jesus said, this is the way it'll be. But then in just day-to-day times, too. You remember, they were fussing around about if they brought the bread or not on the trip in the boat. And Jesus had just fed 4,000 people, and then he fed 5,000 people in the book of Mark. And the disciples were worrying about whether they had brought bread for the trip, and Jesus said, don't you remember? And I want to just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But they'd forgotten to take bread and didn't have more than one loaf in the boat with them. There's 13 of them, at least. You know, and I can see myself, can't you? My wife knows if I get too far from my next meal, I'm nervous. Where's the food, you know? And when I travel, guys that travel with me, they laugh. How much did you stuff in the suitcase, you know? But he was warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they is he talking about the bread? And Jesus was aware of this, and he said, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? And then he kind of, I would say, kind of grounded in. He said, don't you remember? And I hear my own life, and I hear the Lord speaking to me. Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? Oh, yeah. How many large baskets full of broken pieces that you picked up? They said to him, well, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said, well, 7. And he was saying, don't you remember? Don't you understand? I mean, we have God's word on it. And he says, remember. Remember. Are you still there in John 16? Look down to one of my favorites, and I wonder why, because I have nothing to do with it. It's talking to you gals. Chapter 16, verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. You say, well, why is that just written to women? Well, it's not. It's spoken to men. Don't get me wrong. But look at verse 21 with me. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. And I don't know much about it, but I've watched 5 times my wife give birth and forget the pain in light of the joy. And I've been with many of you, and I've seen this. And Jesus said, your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And that's a metaphor. A child has been born into this world, and the anguish is forgotten. You don't even remember. That's a metaphor, because he said, don't lose heart. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm telling you, Sam has forgotten any shortness of breath. You know what I mean? He's forgotten. And we see, because he's in the presence of the Lord, where there are pleasures forever. Comfort one another with these words. Don't lose heart, brothers. And that's really the ultimate statement. I'm quoting 2 Corinthians 4. Romans says it the same way. The sufferings of this present time aren't worth comparing to the glory to be revealed to us. That isn't just pie in the sky. And don't tell me, well, you shouldn't just say that. People are in grief. People are hurting. Jesus said these things. The book says these things. And yes, we're hurting, and I'm not minimizing the pain, and I'll probably be crying some more tears here. But I can tell you this on the authority of God's word. The sufferings, even grief, deep grief that many of you have been through and are still in, and we're all in now, it's not worth comparing to the glory that's to be revealed to us. And if there's one remember that I want to remember, I didn't mean to say it that way, but it's the way it came out. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel. That's how Paul closed his writing career out when he was writing his last words to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead. He's God. He marked him out as God by raising him from the dead. That's where he started Romans, verse 4. He marked him out as his son by the resurrection. And he's the descendant of David, according to the flesh. This God-man, remember him. The unique, the one and only. Come and behold him, the one and the only. But our text, actually, let's go back to Hebrews 13, because our text moves on. It isn't just one word. Remember those who led you. This is a surprise, really. Remember frail ones? Remember creatures? When I have reverberating in my ears, remember Jesus Christ, the one and only. No, remember, he tells us, this is an imperative. The Holy Spirit, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit says to do. Remember those who led you. And that's exactly what I want to do this morning. Remember those who led us, those who spoke the word of God to us. So we'll gather our thoughts there in verse 7 around three words. Remember, consider, and imitate. Remember those who led you. By the way, God's definition of a leader, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. I look at my own life, and I share this, and you, many of you would too. Those who spoke the word of God to me, I think of my folks, mom and dad. I was blessed to have parents who spoke God's word to me. When I was young, I think of my mom, both of them, but particularly mom. She's the one that helped me hide John 3:16 in my heart, when I was just beginning to understand what it means to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And as I got older, I remember lots of bull sessions at 211 Coolidge Street when I was a teenager with Dad late at night, just yakking. And ultimately, opening up God's Word, thinking through life together. What's it all about? Remember those who spoke God's word to you. You hear me talk about John Mitchell. He spoke God's word to me, and it changed my life. He spoke it in a way I'd never heard it. But today I want to talk about Sam Narrow. He spoke God's word to me and to you, many of you, hundreds of times. Hundreds. Scott, you kind of lose your audience, you know, when you exaggerate. Hundreds? Yeah, hundreds. I mean, that would only be a couple times a year. And lots of times he spoke God's word to me a couple times a day over the last half a century. No, Sam spoke a proverb, didn't he? At just the right time. Just the right time. And I told Ben yesterday, his son, that it'd be hard to preach. I told him where I was at. Hebrews 13:7. I said, it's going to be hard to preach tomorrow without preaching Sam's memorial service. And I said, it's too early for a memorial service, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I can't teach this text without talking about Sam. Remember those who spoke the word of God to you. I've been getting texts from all over. Literally. I got one this morning from a pastor who's over in Paris right now, and he said, how is it with Sam? Because he was tracking, and I had to break the news to him, and I told him that this morning we'd come to Hebrews 13:7, and he had this brother has been ministered to by Sam many, many years, and he wrote me back. This is, he said, he looked at this text, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, considering, observing carefully. And here's what he texted me, observing carefully the outcome of their way of life. Sam lived a life that deserved to be not just observed, but observed carefully. I'm so glad you had him by your side from day one. Preach your heart out. And I decided I would. I decided that before he told me to. But he encouraged me in that. Grant loved Sam. And when he sidled in next to me just a minute ago, he said, "How you doing?" You know. And then he said, "This, I wouldn't want to miss this, because we want to do what it says. Remember those who led us, who spoke the word of God to us." I think of, and you'll have to come to the memorial. We don't know when it'll be yet, but I'll let you know. But there'll be countless. I mean, when I was sitting there with Lydia and Chris and John, my phone was just buzzing. And it was alumni of the school sharing remembrances and things they'd learned. There's going to be faculty. There's hundreds of people who've been impacted by this one who spoke the word of God to us. I told you Friday morning we had such a good time reminiscing. And all of us, when we left the room, the elders, the fellow elders, we just left the room motivated to live for Christ and to proclaim his word. And that's what I pray even this morning will do for each one of us. Last night I was at the wedding, you know, and we were rejoicing, mingled with sorrow, and Dwayne Stutzman and I came through the food line together, and as we were walking from the upper auditorium out to the lobby, Dwayne said, "You know, it's tough. He's a dear friend." And Dwayne got a little bit emotional, and he said, "You know, how many times, because, you know, Sam handed the baton to Dwayne, and Dwayne, they crossed over for really many years." He said his office was right next door. As he stepped into an emeritus role and served as a shepherd of this flock all these years. But you know, he said that transitional time, he'd start to bring me in to his meetings with people, and I'd see how he used the Word of God. And I still use those same scriptures today. And Dwayne had a fruitful, long ministry following in the footsteps, imitating, if you will, what it says to do here. And he said, and he underlined this verbally as we were getting food, he said, "There's power. There's power in the word." Sam believed that, you know. And I think of so many stories like that. But, you know, the net goes out widely, but those closest to you, they're the real test, you know. And I already told you, Lydia's Wiltham Bible going to Psalm 16 and taking hope and teaching, speaking the Word of God to me and Chris and John that night was a powerful time. And Ben, I've had a lot of texting with Ben because he's been out of town and unable. He was sick and unable, but he's healthy now and he's able to get here. But I wanted to, yesterday, and I'm getting in the habit of this, right? I start reading texts every Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, and I told you I asked Molly for me. By the way, Molly is home with her husband and family. She got to go home Monday. It was an amazing reversal, and she's with her little baby that she was she'd given birth and unable to get home for 9 days. Anyway, there's a lot of joy there, and I just want to report that much. But Ben yesterday, he texted me, and he texted me three pictures of his Bible, a well-worn Bible, and he said, this is what he wrote. He said, "This is the one of the most treasured gifts Dad ever gave me. It's the Bible that I still use today. He was so faithful in his leadership and love for the Lord." And I texted him back and I thanked him for those three pictures. And I said, "When I look at that picture of your Bible, I can hear Sam's voice quoting speaking the word of God to you, to put it in Hebrews 13 verbiage, because I told him I'd be preaching this text today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they're a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Ben wrote me right back. He said, thanks, Pastor. Those words are very comforting. Everything Dad did was to try and point people to Jesus. Every letter, text, message, and so many conversations over my life were always ended with a quoted verse or a scripture to go look up. So many of them were Proverbs, as you know. That was his favorite book of the Bible. He always encouraged me to read, study, and commit God's word to my heart daily. He was so faithful and diligent, and I just want to thank God for blessing me and my family with a dad who was a man of God, a leader for all of us to imitate and draw closer to the Lord. A lot of people remember their loved ones by things they did together or events, and those are great in their own way. But the things I remember most about my dad are the countless one-on-one conversations we had over the years where he would instruct me, teach me, admonish me, guide me, encourage me, always with wisdom and love and focusing on our Savior, Jesus. I'll never forget those conversations as long as I live. By far the most cherished memories of Dad. I'll pray for you that God will give you clarity and all the right words to speak in your message tomorrow. And I said, thanks, Ben. Would you mind if I quoted from that text? I read it to Grant last night at the reception. He said, you don't even have to preach. All you got to do is read. We were sitting there, and John, his other son, said, I can't hear the Proverbs, hear my dad's voice without thinking of trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Well, I'm supposed to be preaching Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Secondly, considering as you carefully observe. That's the idea. He says, remember and imitate. And in between, he says, remember, and as you're considering, as you're thinking on, as you're carefully observing, notice, look at it, the outcome, the end game, the exit of their way of life. And by the way, one of the reasons we can rejoice with Sam is because he followed his own advice to Timothy. Remember when he wrote to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. His lifestyle was consistent with what he was saying. He didn't just, like some of us are prone to do, just tell others how to live, and maybe we don't live that way ourselves. Oh, no. Always, the messenger of God is to bring the Word of God, and his life is to be consistent with the Word of God, and Sam's was. As you consider the outcome, the end game, where does it end? The exit, that's what the word means, of his way of life. Imitate their faith. Sam was 35-ish, and his goal in life was to be a millionaire by the time he was 40. He had a thriving business, and it was growing. And he hired many people here in the church when he first came to Christ in 74. And then God changed him, you know. And he went home to be with the Lord. He wasn't a rich man. He lived a humble life. He devoted his life to us, to the Lord. And he did die a rich man. He's rich. Considering, think on it, carefully observe the exit, the outcome, the end game. What's it going to be at the end? Oh, I wish I could shake everybody I talk to. Think about it. We're in this for eternity. And we're busy piling up Monopoly money or whatever, you know. We're all going to exit. And if you're here without Christ, come to Jesus. Remember, and as you're considering the outcome of those who led you, who spoke God's word to you, the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. Imitate. I was blown away when I first saw that concept in the scripture. It's all over the New Testament. Because I had kind of thought that you'd say, well, don't follow me. I'm a sinner. I've got a lot of problems. You know, follow Jesus. Well, there's a truth to that. But Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I was asked to speak on spiritual leadership years ago. And I thought, spiritual leadership? And I thought, and it became a lifetime thought for me as I watched it in Scripture. The only way you can be a good leader is to be a good follower. Follow him, because they are following you, dad, mom, brother, sister, co-worker. People watch you. And if you're following the Lord and they're following you, that's good. John Mitchell used to say, don't imitate the man, imitate the Christ in the man. And that was good advice. But the scripture says regularly, imitate their faith. The things you've heard and seen in me, practice these things, Paul would say. You see, our lives, if they're all about Christ, then they're followable. And Sam was all about Christ. He had his feet of clay. You know, I don't want to lionize any man, and he wouldn't want me to. In fact, the text won't let me. Moses has come and go. Joshua's come and go. But look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we who know the Lord Jesus, we're ripped up when we lose a dear brother. But we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. And we're not really ultimately followers of this guy or that guy. We're followers of that one, Jesus Christ. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Lord, how we praise you for being such a Savior. And the transformation that takes place in our lives when we come to know you and follow you. And I thank you that we have the privilege of remembering those who've led us, who've spoken God's word to us. And we can and should. You told us to consider. Think carefully about the end game, their exit, the outcome of their way of life. And then we can imitate their faith, Lord. We can be those who speak a proverb. We can be those who, once we come to Christ, we really come to Christ and live for what counts. Oh, Lord, we praise you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the great I am. Amen.